the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Here we go.
Quick one this week, but we had to get on to a podcast with the draft just over a week away. We can't not discuss it. We've done it every year that we've had it. So going to talk that, going to talk a little Tigers baseball, and then we're going to touch a topic from last week, Red Wings hockey, because we have the stat man. So we've got to get his opinion on all this. If Jay can make it before we're done, we're going to do 60 seconds of salt. If not, we'll save it for another time. We know Jay's always angry. But bring in the stat man, Russ Ivanek, real quick. How we doing, buddy?
We're doing all right. I like already we start off the hop, the disclaimer. Hey, he's always angry. He'll always be ready to be angry at the drop of a hat.
Justin is the mini Hulk. Like, he's always got the rage inside him. You never know when it's going to come out.
Oh, absolutely. So. Well, and to bookend this, because I know you guys started the last pod talking about his dismay of not winning this trophy.
Oh,
I'll just fuel his anger for whenever he does see this.
Oh, that's going to add to the fire for sure. We didn't have you last week. Obviously, you had adult things to take care of, but we did enjoy scaring Justin by telling him that he cost you guys some serious money on said home inspection. So that made it very enjoyable.
Yes, I was very, very happy to see that made the show right at the end there. Excellent breaking news.
I in all honesty, what's great about it, I didn't hear a single word Justin said for like the last 2 minutes of the show because I was reading these texts as this was happening going, oh, if I get a chance to tell him about this, he's going to lose it.
You could see the color just drain from his face.
What little color there is. Yeah, it's just all left. It's great. All right. So like I said, we want to talk everything. Draft preview is going to take up most of the show. But before we do, it's kind of a big moment here in Detroit if you're a fan. Miggy sitting on 2,999 hits. Everybody thought he was going to get it today. Went over 3 today. And what made it even worse, he got walked. The Yankees walk him in his last at bat of the game. Russ, I get that, like, at some point strategy has to kick in. These games and wins mean more than what Miggy does, at least to the Yankees. But it's like, why wouldn't you just give him every opportunity to get the hit, get it over with, and then guess what? You're just playing baseball again. He's not going to get to 4,000 hits. He's not going to get to 600 home runs. So the milestones, it's over. You don't have to be a storyline anymore. Just let him get it out of the way.
Yeah, full disclaimer, I didn't see the walk in question, assuming it's not an intentional walk.
It was.
It was an intentional walk.
Oh, ESPN reported it as an intentional walk.
Okay, well then I'll completely change my tune here. That's some coward shit.
Yeah.
That is one guy not wanting to be on ESPN for the next news cycle, which, come on. It's a cool part of history. Personally, look, if I'm in the show, I get to go, hey, I gave up Miggy's 3,000th hit, right? It's not a great thing, but I'd put it on my resume. That's for damn sure. Like, no, that's ridiculous. And he went 0-for-3 otherwise. Why are you pitching around him? Like, you lost 3-0.
Yeah. Well, I guess if I'm thinking, you're down 1-0, you intentionally walk Miggy, but you still get to just to get to Meadows. But the thing is, there were two other guys on, which means the bases were loaded for Meadows. It's like, I don't understand where your thought process clicked in that Miggy was the guy you had to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to disrespect Miguel Cabrera. We've had many shows where we've praised this guy, but Miggy isn't the threat in the three people I just mentioned that were on base. The bookends there of Candelario and Meadows are kind of the guys you have to worry about more.
Right. Yeah. 39-year-old Miggy is not scarier with two guys on base than Austin Meadows is with three.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that one.
Well, and what brought me even more joy is Meadows hits a blooping popper out to left field. So really what Miggy would have done to you had you just hit the pitch to him, Meadows did to you, and he got two runs out of it. So it was just – but I mean, am I guess from a outsider's perspective, am I being a little too judgmental here? Am I overthinking it? Because to me, it's like, just pitch to the guy. What do you have to lose pitching to the guy? You lost the game anyway. You were down 1-0. So even if you pitch to him and he gets the hit and nothing else happens, you're still going to lose 1-0. There wasn't a win in this formula for you.
Yeah, it's I mean, I personally don't get it, because you made it that far because you're ultra competitive, right? Why are you shying away because he might hit a milestone? That doesn't they don't get an extra run that game because he got his 3,000th hit. It's a coincidence, essentially. No, it's some coward shit to pitch around him there. Like, go. He's a 39-year-old guy. He's a 39-year-old Miguel Cabrera. Granted, that's why he's playing still, but he's, despite his infield hit the other day, I think it was early in the week, late last week. I don't know. Days blur together to me now as a father, where he legged out that infield hit. Like, sure, maybe he's got one or two of them in there, but he's not the guy you're afraid of on the base paths. He's rarely been. No, it's pitch to the guy. I'm with you. If it happens, it happens. No one's going to remember. It's you.
Yeah. No, I agree. Before we get to the draft, I do want to touch on the fact that last week, Justin and I were talking about Miggy's 3,000th hit and how we know we're going to see it. We just don't know when. Justin made a bold prediction, and I want to see how you feel about it. I asked him, I said, look, I'm assuming this is Miggy's last year. I don't know that for a fact, but just all signs to me point that this is Miggy's last year. This team isn't a year away from a World Series. And if it is, we both kind of agreed Miggy's probably not a big part of that formula.
Right.
Sad to say, but true. But Justin made the prediction. I asked him, if this is Miggy's last year and he hangs it up at the end of the season, what is that total hit number? And Justin predicted that there was a one as the second number in that equation. Justin had it at 3,100. He thinks that Miggy goes for a 100 hits this season. Wow.
Let's see what now, he's done.
I can. That's what I was gonna say. To give you the perspective, I had the exact math last week for Jay, but I'm pretty sure I went back to 2015 ish, and almost every year, other than a couple shortened seasons, he gets into the 100 range, if not very close by high 80s or mid 90s. But almost every year, other than injury shortened seasons, Miggy has gotten to at least, I think a couple years ago, he had like 125 hits or something like that. So,
yeah, well, 21, he had 121 hits, hitting 256, only played 130 games. I think he probably plays less than 130 games. Because, hey, you play in the, well, I guess we got the universal DH going or whatever, or it's being talked about. So the quicker they get that in, the quicker that gets higher. I don't know. Maybe he plays 100 games, 3 at bats per. If he's flirting with 300, yeah, I'll agree with him. I'll say we get to 3,100 by the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. And we were discussing it because it's one of those weird things. Like you just said, he plays 100 games, so a hit a game, that's 100 hits right there. Now again, that doesn't happen. You don't, like, again, he went 0-for-3 today, but there are the days like yesterday where he goes 3-for-4. And it's like, so you get the weird kind of math. But I was with him. I said, if it's not 3,100, he's going to get darn close. Miggy doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to get to like 3,020 hits and it's just going to be, yep, I'm done. Like he strikes me as the guy that's going to at least get close. So I thought it'd be right in that range. But when you hear that, it's like another 100 hits. Does Miggy have another 100 hits? But then you look at the math and it's like, it's not that far off to expect. It really isn't. Especially now that all he has to worry about is hitting the baseball.
Right. Yeah. He's already done the ceremonial handing off of the first baseman's glove. Like it's just hit the ball. That's maybe he's going to play in the field, what, every 4 games or something? Like,
yeah.
Just nothing but hitting. Just focus on hitting. I know some guys kind of struggle with that, but he's a professional hitter amongst professionals. Yeah.
He's a top tier. Yeah. That was my other thing I was thinking about the other day. I really don't know how many times we see 24 standing at first base with a glove in his hand. I really just don't think it happens that much. I think, obviously, Torkelson, he's young. They're going to use him. Obviously, they'll give him days. But I almost feel like Scope gets transitioned over there, and they'll figure out something else, because I just feel like with Miggy, they want that bat as much as possible. Look, he's 39, but the guy still knows how to make contact and knows how to hit. I mean, you see him now. He's not swinging for the fences anymore. He's just looking to drop balls in and advance runners. So it'll be interesting.
And he's a good mentor for the guys, and he doesn't have to be on the field for that.
Absolutely. So. Oh, I showed the other day he hits a two-run – or Torkelson hits a two-run home run. Miggy was more excited about the home run than Torkelson was because he likes seeing this. These are the young guys, and he's excited for them. So it's it is cool to see. But, yeah, I would say 3,100 sounds like a safe number. Hopefully we get it. That would just mean we get a very eventful summer out of Miguel Cabrera.
And then when he walks into the Hall of Fame immediately after, do we have Cameron Maben and Andrew Miller have to like hand him the statue, the plaque of himself? So, like, hey, thanks for the trade.
I think so. I think that's absolutely what we need. Yeah, it got brought up at work the other day, and I had a real hard time answering one way or the other because if he gets to 3,100, let's just say he gets to 3,100, is Miguel Cabrera the greatest Tiger of all time? 500 home runs. 3,100 hits, 3,100 hits. K-Line has 399 and 3,000 on the number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, Miguel did things in Florida before he came here.
Right, still. And that's what I'm trying to weigh is how much does that weigh? Because if you're going greatest Tiger of all time, I guess I'll ask you for this clarification. If I'm talking about greatest Tiger of all time, am I talking about height of their powers, wearing the uniform, right? The greatest baseball player to wear the Tigers uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Or
I would say yes.
Or just Tigers. Like the I only consider his time with the Tigers, nothing else counts.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't, what you did outside of it doesn't matter. Like, let's just for argument say Prince Fielder was in the conversation, even though he isn't. Everything he did in Milwaukee means nothing to you. It's just English D.
Oh, I'm gonna say no. He's not gonna be. He'll never be Mr. Tiger, and that's kind of a shame. He's the greatest hitter,
absolutely. Right?
And that's a middle finger to Ty Cobb intentionally. He's the greatest hitter to ever play for the Tigers, but he just didn't do enough for me all around to really to put him over there. And there's those few years discount if his entire career was with the Tigers. Yeah, it's a lot easier for me.
Well, I think if he goes coast to coast as a Tiger, I don't know how you can say no, because he probably holds every batting record the Tigers have.
Yeah,
because he spent. I don't remember how many home runs Hank Greenberg hit. I want to say he was in the 500s, but that would be the only one I would question. But like every other batting thing, he would own. Not that he probably doesn't already own some records to begin with.
Right. Well, I can, if you give me a second, I could probably.
I also think the only other reason I give the weight to Miggy, it's K-Line, but I think the only other reason Miggy gets that weight is Miggy's got a triple crown. There are so few people that have that. But it's like, and he did it in an English D, so it's like that just adds a little more to it.
No, that was something that I weighed a lot in trying to do this. Is like, he's got a triple crown. Like, if you talk about like the best things ever done hitting wise, like that used to happen right back in the like Bronx Bombers time and that, but it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
All right, Cabrera, first batting record that I found that he holds for Tigers, strikeouts. Yeah. He struck out more. He's also been intentionally walked more than anyone else. And those are the only two batting records he holds in Tigers currently. He is, however, in the top 10 for quite a few things, it looks like here.
Yeah.
Yep, runs created, singles, adjusted batting runs, times on base, extra base hits. Yeah, a bunch of stuff that he no doubt would be the top at if his entire career was here.
Yeah, it's a weird conversation because you want to think it's an easy answer, but when you start weighing things, it's like, I don't know. That's a tougher question to answer than you would assume. Now, it's also tough for us because we never saw K-Line actually play a single game. We know him. Yeah, we know him by stats and legacy. So it's just very weird. It's very, it's a tough conversation to have. This should be an even tougher conversation. We got the NFL draft coming up. Tigers. Lions hold 3 picks in the first 34, and there's a lot they need to address and a lot they need to do. So, Russ, I guess to make it simple, we're not going to put at this particular moment no trades on the table. The first 34. No, we can do it in a minute, but I just want to know the first 34 happen as assumed. Like nobody does any weird alterations. At 2, what do you have the Detroit Lions doing?
So again, working under the premise that I can't trade, it's taking the best edge rusher that's there. Whether they truly think that's Thibodeau or Walker, you better not get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to say, as long as they're sure that's the better guy, that's who you have to go after. Because I look at this team, and the main things that I want to address in the draft, in that first 100 picks or so, where they have five different draft picks, is each level of the defense. And you're more likely to get a big difference maker at the other two levels later, as opposed to edge. So make your difference there, get your positional value. I don't know if you have a preference between Thibodeau or Walker.
If I have to pick and it's me making the pick, I probably go with Thibodeau, just because I see more. That's where it's weird. I see more upside with Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
But with Walker, I see a guy who I think upstairs is ready to do this. Thibodeau to me sometimes seems like he's a little if he really wants to give it 100%. If you can get 100% out of Thibodeau, I think he might be as good as Hutchinson, if not better. It's just the getting 100%. And that's what worries me the most, is this is such a big pick that we can't afford to get a guy who isn't 100% ready to play NFL football full go every go. But if of them, I see Thibodeau as the best talent of the edge rushers.
No, I'm with you there. He lacks the consistency, but that's his question mark. Can he continuously do it? Whereas Walker, we're going, well, he wasn't necessarily used that way. Can he do it? He's got the skills to do it. He's got the tools to do it. But just because you put a hammer in my hand doesn't mean that I can build you a house.
Absolutely.
And we'll see if he can. He's worth consideration. I'm not trying to dog on the guy.
No, not at all.
But
not at all.
Are you looking somewhere else other than edge at two?
I'm with you on edge, but I guess just to make the extra point here, I still think that most mock drafts are getting it right. If it's not an edge rusher, if for some odd reason Aiden goes and you're not sold that it's one of these guys putting their hands in the dirt, I still like Kyle Hamilton. Like him at safety. You have to shore up that secondary at some point. As long as it's not freaking Sauce Gardner, I'm okay with what we do here. I am completely okay. I think it's Hamilton. If it's not one of those edge rushers. Now, again, I want to preface this. I am going with an edge rusher. If this mock draft happened tomorrow, I'm taking one of those edge rushers, be Hutchinson, Thibodeau, or Walker. I'm taking one of those guys. But for me, it's Kyle Hamilton.
So
if it's not.
So how much of your trepidation in taking Gardner here has to do with looking at the roster and going, Jeff Okuda?
But it's not even that. It doesn't make sense to me. Okay, let's. And I see he's sitting there, so we'll get him here.
Oh, hey.
Nice and dirty. Nice and dirty. For those who don't know, Justin was out back digging holes to get a new deck.
I have to leave. No, I can't.
Hey, Stanley Yelnats, how you doing?
No, but Russ, to answer your question, for me, it's the look of, okay, you're going to draft Sauce Gardner number two overall. Okay, and if you do that, there is no way he cannot be standing on the field day one as a number two pick. Okay, that's fine. Now, is it Jeff Okuda? Is it Owarie? Who is not going? Because Owarie was the best corner on the team last year, and he was one of the best corners in the league for a while there. He covered everybody very effectively. They showed his stats the other day. He played very well. So, okay, Sauce Gardner, I'll go with you on this, Brad. Show me who isn't playing. Because if it's Jeff Okuda, you're admitting that that guy should never have been on this team from day one. You wasted a year having him. If it's Owarie, you're saying that what he did last year was a one-off and you don't think he's capable of doing it again.
Or they play three corners.
Yeah.
Because I've also heard some rumblings, some completely unconfirmed rumblings, but that with Okuda's injury and recovery timetable, there might be a move to safety in his future.
Maybe.
Which maybe fills that hole because they got one, maybe two holes at safety because they do some three safety looks in the nickel. But yeah, it feels a lot like, and maybe it's not fair to do that because, hey, you got to get it right. But it feels like there's been a lot of resources poured into a lot of questions still there.
See, you just applied logic to it, and it makes lost in the sauce. If you think Boone had it
lost in the sauce, you say.
if you think Boone had it bad today, getting yelled at for walking Miggy, this city will boo the crap out of the Fords.
Well, I don't even have to ask the question because you just literally, that's how we let off the show, talking about Miggy getting walked. So you just gave us your opinion. Now, see, Russ, if that Okuda thing is true, whether mm-hmm. or not, it has to be announced before this draft. There cannot be, like, otherwise Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell will be, you know, killed by someone for doing this. It just, fans won't be able to handle it. Jay, we're starting this out in a very basic way. There's no trades. There's no movement. We're just going, just to start out, we're going to do these first three picks the Lions have. So at two, no trades, no movement. You got to pick a guy. Where are you going? Russ took Thibodeau or Walker, depending on whichever one you want. I agree with him as an edge rusher, but I'll take Kyle Hamilton to kind of change the narrative here. Where are you going?
Well, to break your rules, I'm trading back to four and still getting Trayvon Walker. at two, it's.
I hate him. Why did he have to come on this show? Like, seriously. Just go dig bigger holes. Dig bigger holes. Are you ready to behave?
You're no longer Stanley Yelnats. You're zero.
I appreciate the reference, number one. Number two, it's Thibodeau. Honestly, it's Thibodeau for me. I think that's the I'm not worried about, like we talked about last week, I'm not worried about his pro day. I'm not worried about his combine. I'm not worried that he missed a year. I don't care that he hasn't played. He has a potential. And that's what this stuff is a shot in the dark. Things fall apart all the time. So it's Thibodeau for me at two, assuming that Hutch and his 4-point miniseries goes first overall, and then I'll have a 5-point miniseries for getting drafted.
That's bothering you a lot, isn't it?
It does keep me up. It does keep me up.
Okay.
You can just not watch it, man.
No, I have hate. I'm back to – I took the winter off, and a lot of things have been pissing me off this week. So I don't like a lot of things right now. I don't have to tell you.
Slowly insert fantasy trophy again.
Yeah, I mean that was the iceberg that my Titanic crashed into. So I've already started working on it. I've got notes.
Let me throw the bomb into the scenario. Everybody's kind of in agreement where they should go. We all agree it's an edge rusher. Like I said, Hamilton would be the only guy outside of that I wouldn't, you know, really get too worked up over. Let me throw the cherry bomb in there. Malik Willis, second overall pick by the Detroit Lions.
I mentioned in passing there that whichever one they pick, they better be damn sure that he's the right one. You got to be extra damn sure with Malik Willis because this is I'm not sold. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't do it. I'm not sold. Easy answer is no. I don't like it. If you're going to get a quarterback, you're going to get him that high. If you don't have a grade on him that high, don't reach for him. Historically, guys with grades in the later first round, they very rarely end up actually panning out. It's guys that had higher picks that a bunch of teams were sleeping on or didn't need a quarterback. That's how you find, you get like, oh, hey, Drew Brees, beginning of the second round. Like, yeah, extenuating circumstances, dude was short. Oh, Malik Willis is short too. And I'm not saying anything against short guys, but what used to be like and still is a negative point against guys is just being overlooked because top quarterback, you know, you're going to the ballpark and going, hey, I'm here. I need a beer. Yeah, I'll pay $14 for it. No, you don't have to in this situation, pregame or go home and drink. You know, find some other way out of doing it, because that is, if you mess up this number two pick, whoever it is, you're setting back the franchise years. How many more years do we need to do this to?
Okay.
I think Russ has a perfect expression that I know he took from Letterkenny that he says all the time. It's, if you're going to come, you better come correct. And Brad Holmes better Kevin Costner the shit out of that and put that piece of paper in his pocket that says Malik Willis, if he's that sure. If he's a dud, if he's a stud, Malik Willis better be his new name, okay? But I think it's too much of a risk. Like, all jokes aside, that is is dumb. Like I was playing with a fantasy or a draft simulator for most of my afternoon at work today. Don't tell anyone. And like quarterbacks were like there in their rankings, but even the simulation teams weren't taking them. Like, I don't think that's the right move. And people will quickly forget about that. We still have Jared Goff, and they'll probably like Jared Goff in year two. Don't do it. Just grab a sure thing or a potential sure thing on defense and move on to the next round.
Yeah. Well, like what I said about Sauce Gardner, I almost feel like applies to Malik Willis is if you're going to take him at two, he better be seeing the field very quickly, which I'm not a proponent of. We've talked about on this show. I'm not a proponent of. I think a guy like that, whatever quarterback we get next, should sit for a year, should learn, let Jared Goff kind of take the hits. This offense should be pretty good. They just need a little bit of time to kind of work it out. So let Jared Goff be that guy while we build the other pieces, and then you have a quarterback step in, or you draft a quarterback next year, and we start going. So if it's Malik Willis, the better be ready to play pretty quick, because there's just no way you can take a guy second overall and he's sitting for an entire year. I just don't see that being an effective way to go about this.
Quick recall to a podcast a couple months ago when we won a stupid, pointless game against the Vikings and everyone was great for morale and it was this, that, and the other. We could be drafting first overall and we could just take Aiden and be done with all this. And yet, look, we're here and we're playing these scenarios. I want to trade with the Jets to get their fourth and their 10th because the simulation said it was possible. Like, if we were drafting first overall, I don't think we talk about Sauce or even Malik. It's Aiden or Thibodeau.
I hate to break it. I mean, I agree with you, but I hate to break it to you, buddy. The only reason Malik Willis isn't being contemplated as the number one overall pick is because Trevor Lawrence is in Jacksonville. If Jacksonville didn't take Trevor Lawrence last year, if Jacksonville didn't take Trevor Lawrence, they decided that they needed something else first before a quarterback, and, you know, Jacksonville had the number one overall pick. Aiden Hutchinson should be the consensus number one overall pick. I guarantee you there'd be people mock drafting Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or whoever you like them as a quarterback. It's just because quarterback becomes the utmost first need, even if it isn't the biggest need. I mean, I have a tweet right here because that was something I was going to bring up down the road. One of the scenarios I saw for that we could see happen was the Houston Texans trade for Kyler Murray to get a quarterback. And it became such a big rumor that Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, had to respond and said, yeah, that's not happening. There's just too much outside noise that people listen to. We understand that's just part of what goes on these days with social media. It's just not the case.
Dude, so talk about being thin-skinned.
Yeah, even your owner has to address, no, we're not going to trade this guy. So
that's weak.
It's the only reason Malik Willis is number two. And let's be honest, if the Lions had taken a quarterback last year or had gone a different direction or Stafford was still here, you'd never hear Malik Willis. Thibodeau or Walker or Hamilton there wouldn't even be a debate. It's just because there's technically a need for quarterback that this conversation's happened.
Right. So, well, and let's do some history check on that to back up Arab's words here. The number two pick has been traded for about three times in the last 10 years. To come up to get Mitchell Trubisky, the first quarterback taken in that draft.
That worked.
Famously, before Patrick Mahomes, to select Carson Wentz.
That worked. Mm.
One pick after Jared Goff. Woof. Just because they're the top quarterbacks in the draft doesn't mean they're good. And then Robert Griffin III, famously after Andrew Luck, which did not work well for either team.
See, that one, the only I'll be fair to that one. The first two were obvious, cleared bad decisions. The Robert Griffin one, I genuinely think he could have done this league. He just couldn't stay healthy. His knees were so far gone by the time he got into the league, he had no chance. If he comes into this league healthy and with no knee issues, I think we look back and go, wow, that was actually a really smart move to do. But unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy. And it doesn't help that he comes into the league with a guy who might be one of the most liked quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and Andrew Luck. I mean, people are still wanting him to come back, even though if you haven't seen him, he literally is skinnier than Justin's children. He just decided to stop eating. He looks like he's on a hunger strike. But it doesn't help that you go in with one of the most likable quarterbacks in the NFL up until he retired. So I get it. I do. Moving on, the Lions have the 32nd overall pick, obviously, in the Stafford trade, taking that from the Rams. So this one's a little tougher to predict because we don't really know how it all goes out. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that 32nd overall pick, Jay, what are you looking at here? Is this where a quarterback makes more sense? Do they address another defensive position? Do they maybe shore up a little bit on that offense, a spot we didn't, you know, we don't necessarily think needs to be filled, but maybe does?
So from last week, I was eyeing Sky Moore at this spot, and I've now have revised that to a couple picks later. But N'Kobe Dean, it's N'Kobe Dean. I'm going to go defense. And at this point, I expect Pickett and Willis to be gone. And I don't care what other quarterback's name is. You're not happening unless you're in the third or fourth round now for me. It's N'Kobe Dean, and then hit the offensive side of the ball eventually.
Okay. Well, I can be quick here because he literally took the guy I was going with, N'Kobe Dean. So I agree. It's N'Kobe Dean. I think, like you said, Jay, defense is where it's the most imperative. For right now, if you lay out this roster, that offense is about as complete as I think we can get it without reaching for someone. You have some solid receivers. You have one of the top tight ends when he stays healthy. You have an offensive line that, when it stays together, the most analysts were ranking as one of the top offensive lines in the NFL. You have Swift, who's proven to be almost a better version of Riddick. He can catch out of the backfield, but he can also run the ball effectively. You may want to find that second back if you don't feel like you have him. And like I said, Jared Goff isn't the best quarterback, but I don't see Jared Goff as the guy that's going to cost us. He doesn't seem to make as many bad mistakes. He can keep teams in games. Russ is going to hate this. He's Joe Flacco. He's Joe Flacco. Yeah, I know.
Flacco was the man. He was cool.
So, thinking of Shane Falco.
Both can be correct.
Yeah, for me, it's addressing that defensive side as much as we can with best player available. And I agree with you. It's N'Kobe Dean. Look, there's a chance we could be going Georgia with our first two picks in this draft. That's amazing. I wouldn't hate it. So, Russ, yeah, Jay made it super easy for me. N'Kobe Dean.
To hell with Georgia. N'Kobe Dean would be fantastic. I frankly, I'm scared of Pittsburgh and New England snatching him up there at 20 and 21.
Yeah.
Because after Lloyd, it's him. So if you want a linebacker, here you go. And it's a bit of a gap in between there. So if he's available, yeah, I'm 120% with you guys. Mm-hmm. Snatch him up. I don't care that he's a little undersized. I love the way he plays. I love the way he can play sideline to sideline. But that being said, I'll go the other way because I don't have Kyle Hamilton at the top. In my scenario, I had an edge. Take care of the back end. I want, you know, the three levels of the defense, like I mentioned, if we take care of edge at the top one, this is a lot of value there with some safeties or defensive backs. You have sign from another Georgia pick. You have Dax Hill. You have Jaquan Brisker from Penn State. You've got a difference maker that you can get there at 32 or 34 that is steps right in as a starter, helps you show up there. And then later in the third round, you probably can still snag another linebacker there that you like. And I'll say the only caveat is Holmes is really good at getting safeties late in the draft. So maybe I'm talking out of my ass and he'll just pull a better one later. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. Russ, as you were mentioning it, like you said, N'Kobe Dean would be great to get. It really would be.
It
would be great. But like you said, it's a reach grab. How would you feel, just because I feel like this is a guy who he's going to go to the NFL as an edge rusher, but I think over time they're going to take his hand off the dirt and move him back a little bit. How would you think if they went for I know his name, but I want to make sure I give him his first name too, because I'm a nice person. How would you feel if they went and got David Ajabo?
Oof. So it's scary.
Okay.
Because I want to just be in the guy's corner because he had a tragic injury and he's a Wolverine, so I want to pump him up regardless. I had some problems with his usage late in the year. Regardless, in obvious run situations, he was getting pulled off the field. Mm-hmm. In college, playing across from Aiden Hutchinson, where you're already getting less pressure, that's a red flag to me of why can't you do this to a high enough level? Now, granted, it was a very good defense. Maybe maybe Harbaugh's thinking there's other guys that can do it better, but that doesn't scream first round talent to me. And then he gets injured, and now we're talking about it might be 2 years until he's fully healthy because of the timeline of the injury. It scares the hell out of me. Yeah. If we're playing, you know, what if scenarios, and you trade down from two down to like you grab 5 and 7 from New York and you don't go edge rusher there, then maybe you can talk me into a Ojabo here that you go, hey, he's going to take a red shirt year. We'll have the Aquara boys running around. And then when he's back, maybe he's a first round, but my gut is to stay away from him.
Okay. I only asked that because I asked Jay about the Lions taking Kenneth Walker with 32 left. So I had to give him a Michigan guy. I like it. So everybody's kind of on the same page here at 32. Now we head over. Literally, we take a 5-minute break and then it's our turn again. 34. And I'm going to throw the wrench in first because I think this is what it's going to be. I really do. Assuming they're both still available, I think this is where the Lions decide to get a little cute and try to take quarterback. And I would say it's either going to be Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder. And I personally, after watching both of them, I like Sam Howell. Now, again, you run into that fact that he's not very tall. He's about 6'1". He's fast and he's got the ability to move around. But the difference between him and Ryder, he has a very, very strong, accurate arm. And I really liked that from him. It almost gave me weird, like, shades of Matt Stafford when I watched him play a little bit, other than that he's far more mobile than Stafford is. So I'm going to say this is where they decide to maybe go after a quarterback and give themselves the next guy down the road that, because it's at 34, there's not as much pressure for him to be on the field day one. He can take the time to learn.
So what's worth more, the expectation change being an early second round pick instead of a first, or the ability to give him the fifth year option on his contract if he works well being a first round pick?
See, that's the thing. That fifth year option sounds great, but to me, it's also that thing of if you're wrong and you miss, it's, you know, it's a little less time you have to deal with having him because it's more than likely not going to be a major release. You might trade him. I think there's too many other needs to address that fifth year option becomes irrelevant to me. I want to address what I need, especially right now when we're in the build. If we're a little bit closer and quarterback's the last thing we need, then yeah, I get it. I really do. But quarterback's not the last thing we need. So I'm taking best player available. And at that point, I think it fills a need that we're going to have.
It does feel like the kind of spot where they can get a little squirrely though, right? Having those two back-to-back picks. What I want them to do is trade this away to get draft capital for next year. See if you can get someone to be stupid and be like, hey, you know what? I think Desmond Ridder is the answer, and I'll give you a first-round pick next year to take 34 this year or 32 this year. Either way, if you can get a first-round pick next year, look, the Lions probably aren't going to be very good this year anyways. Aaron Rodgers staying in the division, so the division is still going to be hard. So you're probably picking top 10-ish. Maybe if everything goes well, we're talking top 15. Whoever's betting on one of these quarterbacks to be their answer probably isn't picking very high next year anyways. Yeah. Two shots in the top 15, that could have gotten you a Justin Fields last year, easy. That could have gotten you anyone except for the top like two guys. I want to get in that lottery. I'd rather be in here next year.
Okay. Jay?
I don't know. I like Eric, you're looking quarterback. Russ, you're looking to move and trade out. At this spot, I've already started a process of defensive. I'm looking at Nick Benito and getting another defensive end. And this guy's going to be more so on the edge.
All edges.
I thought this was going to be where you drafted Sky Miles.
No, Sky Moore is kind of – Sky Miles, what is it, a Delta program? Welcome to the Medallion Club. No, I'm committed. Like secretly, I built my strategy based around still trading around the second pick and probably getting Trayvon Walker, Nakobe Dean, and Nick Benito, and just being stacked at age and talent on the defensive side of the ball and still losing games because of Jared Goff, and then grabbing my quarterback. So in two swift years, we've gotten very, very young and talented on D, and we get a new quarterback eventually. I'm not mad. I don't like Ridder because everything I've read on him is that he has accuracy problems, which, okay, that's your number one skill set you have to have to not accurate then get lost. But then I'm also not mad if we can sucker someone in to come up and grab a quarterback, because Pickett and Malik
Willis.
Thank you. Bruce Willis is gone. Then they need to. We're going to stack up in a certain way, either in picks or defense or a shot, and it's going to be a fifth-year option kind of dude. You can't be mad with that pick, but I think that's where the draft is going to be really interesting. Two could almost be telegraphed, especially if it gets traded away. That spot's going to be cute.
Okay. All right, so we have limited time, and I want to let you guys have your moment where you can play with the draft and move things around. All right. Before we do, we're going to do a quick little game of buy or sell. I'm going to give you the proposition. You tell me if you're buying or if you're selling, okay? First one, in the top 10, the Giants hold the 5th and the 7th pick. Now, they've famously drafted Daniel Jones out of Duke a couple years ago. With one of those two picks, Russ, the Giants take a quarterback.
Sell. I don't think they do. I think if they are going to do that, they send Daniel Jones to the Lions and move up to 2.
Oh, my God. I don't want that. That's not value. Give me a pick. Give me a future.
Well, no. Picks would come with it. It wouldn't
give
just
me another pick
for it. But, yeah, mm-hmm. it'd like 5 and Daniel Jones and some other things to balance it out for 2.
Okay. Jay?
I am going to sell because they are dumb and they will stick with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and they think that that works.
Okay. I personally would sell it too. I think they seem to be likely in need of a quarterback. Daniel Jones doesn't seem to be the guy, but I think a head coach coming in year one, I don't think he's going to want to risk a massive QB change. He at least knows Daniel Jones can play in this league and they can address the need down the road. There's other things they need to address in this draft. I personally think that this is honestly going to be where we see the first receiver go off the board. I think Drake London goes 5 or 7, one of the two. I like him a lot. He would be the guy that if this draft was a little thinner, I would not be upset with the Lions taking it too, but I think that's where he goes. All right, Jay, buy or sell number 2. More than one, so at least 2 teams come up in this draft into the top 10 to draft a quarterback.
So you're out of the top 10 coming into the top 10?
Yep. And I have the whole first round. So I can
I'm going to sell. I think a lot of top 10 teams remove around the top 10. So I think there'll be more activity within the top 10 than from without.
Okay.
I know that wasn't your question, but I'll still sell the teams from out of the top 10.
You don't ever answer my question, so it's fine.
I answer 2 questions in 1 sentence.
Russ, buy or sell, more than one team comes up in the draft into the top 10 to take a quarterback.
Sell. I think you'll maybe get one because there's some QB needy teams in the top 10, Carolina. So maybe one other team moves up. I don't think anyone is foolish enough more than that to jump in there. Maybe we see Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis if things go crazy with one of those going to Carolina. I can't see another team jumping into that to pick like Desmond Ridder or Sam Howell in the top 10.
Okay. Hopefully. All right, Russ, right back to you. First time, I believe they said it was 2013. If I'm mistaken, I apologize. First time since 2013, we see a quarterback not go in the top 10 of this draft.
No, it's not good. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody always does it.
To give you the preface, Jacksonville, Detroit, Houston obviously needs a quarterback. Jets, Giants, Panthers need a quarterback. Speculation, Baker. Giants again. Atlanta Falcons obviously just traded Matty Ice. And Seattle Seahawks, questionable on their quarterback decision. And then the Jets again. So Jets are the only team that really is kind of out of the QB hunt other than outside of Jacksonville. So.
Yeah. There's too many in there that, plus you've got New Orleans, which inexplicably loaded up with first round picks in this draft. They might try and make a move here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody will do it.
Okay. Jay?
Easily. Yeah. That'll happen. There might even be an interesting amount of quarterbacks traded and quarterbacks drafted amongst all this chaos. So people moving other pieces and doing dumb. Someone is bound to be dumb and take a risk on a young quarterback. So it should happen.
Before I set you guys loose here on your crazy trades, last one, Jay, buy or sell. Aiden Hutchinson is not the first pick in the NFL draft.
He's not?
will not go number one. Someone else other than Aiden Hutchinson will go number one.
No, I got to deal with Michigan having – they were the number one draft. Like when Eric Fisher went for Central, it was like, hell yeah. We promoted the crap out of CMU when that happened. This is – Michigan can have their moment, and we can go back to normal times. So okay. I'll sell because it's going to happen.
This is Michigan.
My official answer is I'm selling. My manifest, the answer, please, is buy, because I want him to fall to two. And I will talk myself into anything to make that happen, because that would make draft day so much better.
I mean, when you do the math of how many picks there are and all that, like you would think the odds would say, yeah, sure, I'll take that. But I'm with you. I would love to manifest destiny and say that, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is staying in Michigan. He's just going to travel a little bit, you know, a little bit closer to the city. But I feel like it's a sell situation. I really do. I feel like if there was ever a guaranteed pick's already been decided, I feel like this is it. But you never know. We could see someone could, like we're about to probably see here. Someone could trade to try to get to number one to get a guy. So we'll see what happens. All right. That's all the formal stuff. So now I'll let you two crazy people go crazy. Justin, I shackled you a little bit and gave you rules that you didn't follow even a little bit. Talk to me now about what you think the Lions' first round will actually look like.
J-E-T-S, trade the picks. I want a fourth. And like the simulator birthed this out of me today. And I was like, yes, because that was the best simulation I had all day. The Jets trade their fourth and their 10th for our second, and we get both Trayvon Walker and Thibodeau.
Oh, my God.
And then we also get Nick Bonito and N'Kobe Dean, and it's just chaos.
And he lines six linemen up every play.
Yeah. Like, depth, rotation, age, contract control. I mean, no one's got to get paid their big deal yet. Like, I understand there'd be a lot of first-round picks there, so they're still going to get paid a lot of money. But I would love to trade with the Jets for their fourth and their 10th, and we pick two studs on defense in the top 10. That would be a win. I would go to sleep erect all evening.
Cold water time. Who are the Jets coming up to get?
I don't care.
Why would they make this move?
Because Jacksonville took...
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, you know how that happens is if Aiden doesn't go number one, then I could see a lot of people calling to try to get our pick.
Yeah.
Take him then and run.
We need him, obviously. But yeah, that would be how I would say it happens is if Jacksonville balks and takes like an offensive lineman or takes Thibodeau, I could see a lot of people calling to say, all right, what do you want? And yeah, then it's a conversation.
Give me crazy town.
Yeah. All right, Russ, I know you said 5-7 a lot. I guess give me your reasoning why that looks to be the most appealing draft or appealing trade to you.
Coaching staff not tied to Daniel Jones. His rookie contract is coming up sooner or later. So I want the Jets 4-10.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Giants 5-7. I think the Giants are more likely to do something crazy to get themselves a new quarterback. But I think at the end of the day, neither of them is going to end up happening because, like I said, who are they coming up for? Who are they talking themselves into? I'm trying to manifest that whole Daniel Jones trade because that just feels like, hey, we've already seen Brad Holmes pick up a first round pick and somebody else's busted quarterback. So maybe you would do it again. But if I'm really going crazy, it's turning one of 32 or 34 into a first round pick next year. That's the thing I really want. It's you get to be a little froggy and you look at this third round, you got two third rounders. There's some linebacker depth there. There's some defensive back depth there. There's some wide receiver depth there. If you're okay with guys that have been hurt recently, you can take some guys that could be impact starters here, but none of it is going to go until you have a quarterback and you could get right up in the lottery and you could end up with, you could be 5-7 next year. You could be 4-10 next year. If you turn 32 or 34 into someone else's poor decision and get their first round pick.
Okay.
That's the Steve Yzerman special. That's what he wants. It's a quick 1 year value trade. He wants that 1 year turnaround.
Yeah. Look. And then you're looking at like CJ Stroud as a possible guy, right?
Look, I've never been more proud of Justin than I am right this second. And it's because Justin came in late, so he doesn't actually know how we're doing this. Now, we're out of time. We're up against the clock here. But before we go, I have to do this because he missed the show last week. You mentioned Steve Yzerman, Jay. Russ, we talked Red Wings and the future of the Red Wings. I want to know, what's the stat man's plan for the Detroit Red Wings' future? Jay and I talked about it. Jay went with needing another nice blue line piece. I totally agree. Justin, if you make the dad joke again when I say this, I will hurt you. I said they need to go get a center to help set up those wingers. So, or those wings. Russ, for you, what is the future for this Red Wings? What is that next step they need to make?
The lashings will continue until a center is acquired. the lashings will continue until morale improves. I mean, it's as simple as that. Unfortunately, you have Dylan Larkin, who has emerged as a legitimate top line center. And then you're hoping Pugh Suter is something more than the thing that people kneel on in church. Like this, you're struggling down the middle all the way down. And yes, the more we get into positionless hockey, the less that matters. But that's ignoring the fact that the center is usually the center because growing up, they were always the most talented player on their team. And it ends up being a lot of the time the most talented player. There's exceptions. Artemi Panarin, right? We've seen he can drive lines on his own, not playing center. But in the top 10, there's about four guys in the draft right now where you can look at them and go, that's the guy. That's the guy that could be a top line center or second line center. He could play in the top six. He can complement Larkin, and we can go. If you get really lucky next year, likely 2 years from now. But yeah, I don't think you're going anywhere until you get that figured out. The whole left side of the blue line is getting revamped anyways this next year. So Justin's not wrong that we'll have to add pieces there. But there's enough brewing already in the pipeline on defense that I think you can survive there, ignoring that need in this offseason specifically. But you're not going to otherwise. Like who's your Malkin and Crosby, right? Who are your two centers that you're running things through? Right now it's Larkin, and that's it.
Yep. Okay. I like it. This came out the other day. This is our goodbye right here. Verana became the second, or I think, yeah, the fastest to get to 20 goals in 32 games. Fewest games to get to 20 goals in franchise history. He's tied with Danny Grant for 32. I want to ask you guys, both real quick, it can be fast. Jay, if we had a full season out of Verana, what do those numbers look like?
The numbers are even higher and our odds are even smaller in the lottery on May 9th. Okay. That would be my problem. I think
is he ahead of Larkin?
No, I wouldn't do that. I just feel that how many games were maybe won or lost by one goal. We might've won those. And then our odds in the draft would have been hurting. So I like where we're at on our draft odds. And I like that Verona can come back a full season next year. Cause Russ, nailed the shit out of this.
Yeah. Russ, if 15 played all the games this year, what do those stats look like?
My happiness per 60 would be through the effing roof. I'll tell you that much. I'm sure. Those stats would be points. He's probably still trailing Larkin. Goals, he's leading the team, and we're talking about a 40 goal scorer.
Okay.
He is top five even strength goal scoring per 60 in the league since he's been drafted. He is Ray Allen as a happy little check boy. That's what you're dealing with. He gets red hot right away. He can score from anywhere. I love watching him play.
Mm-hmm. He's a lot of fun to watch. I had it right around 40. I agreed. I think he's leading the team in goals. I don't know about points because Larkin really got on that setup train where he was getting everybody going. He had Raymond. He had Bertuzzi. But I agree. I think Verana leads the team in goals, and he's a heck of a lot of fun to watch. Kind of why we need another center to help set these guys up. It'd be really great. Maybe we could try it sometime. So we'll see what happens there. That's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Look, we just talked NHL, and I have a feeling here in a couple weeks we're going to start talking some playoff hockey and, who knows, maybe the NHL draft. I got a favorite, and I don't know if the guys are going to agree with me on it. So we will talk about that here in a couple weeks. My thanks, as always, my thanks as always to Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
Hey, milk is a bad choice if you're doing a podcast, so don't drink milk and try to talk.
Very phlegmy.
Just going to say that. Thank you for having half of me today.
Absolutely. And as always, my thanks to the Statman, Russ Ivanek, for making us sound a lot smarter than we really are.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad we could jump on and do this. Things to look forward to next week. The Lions changing the trajectory of their franchise and 200 episodes. Stay tuned.
Absolutely. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us. One giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.